G'day, Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Stevie Butler.
This week we caught up with the West Australian cricket writer, John Townsend, discussing the Ashes.
And we spoke with Adelaide Crows head of football, David Noble, ahead of the Crows' first match since their coach Phil Walsh's passing.
And we chatted to Olympian Heidi Gann, who's about to fly to Kazan in Russia for the Swimming World Championships. Yes, and great to have another one of our colleagues from the West Australian on the show.
They're taking over.
Yes, the best cricket.
Better watch us. Give us an inch.
Best cricket writer in Australia, I reckon, Johnny Townsend. A bit surprised he's not in England at the moment. He's probably a bit surprised himself. But he joins us on the line. Here he is, Springer, John Townsend from the West. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yes, thanks, Barry. Yes, wouldn't mind being the best cricket writer not in Australia, actually. Anyway, thanks for the pump up, Barry. I'll leave the check on your desk.
Now, mate, yeah, you know where my desk is. Australia needs to set a new record, 4-12, to win the first Ashes test. What say you? Can they do it?
Well, they've got 2 days, so that's probably the biggest and most significant thing in their favour. The time really is not a factor. That they can bat, you know, 200 a day, 60 a session, 30 overs a session, so you're looking at 2 and over. So on pure run rates, you think the mathematics say it's quite possible, but 400's been scored, I think, about 5 or 6 times in Test cricket in chases. So history would say it's a very big ask. But it's been a funny old game, and, certainly batsmen who've got set have looked pretty good at times, and then when wickets have fallen, they've gone in a hurry, and then blokes have looked pretty ordinary. So, but massive after. I mean, England, comfortable favourites to win it and go 1-0 up, but don't rule Australia out.
Well, Springer, some of their shot-making selections in the first innings weren't too flashy. They do a bit of that in the second innings. They won't be getting anywhere near 400, I wouldn't have thought.
No, you've still... You look at, Stephen Smith as well, looked $1 million and played a pretty ordinary shot to get out. Watson, we've seen it about 75 times. Plunk that big leg down the pitch, play around it, get hit on the knee and off you go. The history's been repeating itself a little bit. So as I said, though, the time means that they can be patient when they have to be patient. There's no compulsion for them to get on and really go at 4 or 5 and over.
Now, talking of Watson, should he go and be replaced by Sean Marsh?
Well, I think if he goes, he'll be replaced by Mitch Marsh. I don't think Sean will replace him.
But, okay. But, so his younger brother will step up to the plate.
He's there for as much of his bowling as he's batting, and Mitch has obviously bowled 145 Ks, and is a pretty handy bowler.
Yep.
Look, I think the day's just about come for Watson. I mean, we've probably been saying that for 4 years, that the day's come for Watson, but... He just doesn't contribute enough to wins, I think. He makes his strongest contribution second innings, when the series are over, late in series. You know, the game, when the heat's gone out of the game, he seems to rise. It's very rare that he's actually contributed to set up a game like, you know, Michael Clarke's done, and we've seen Steve Smith over the last year. So for Australia to get better, I think the time is just about done. So he may well be on his last warning tonight or tomorrow, and you never know. Look, if he can pull something out of the bag and contribute very strongly, well, he holds on, but he's the man who's absolutely under the pump at the moment.
Johnny Townsend, cricket writer for the West. The Scorchers, Women's Big Bash. That sounds exciting. That's, I reckon, overdue.
You reckon?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm a massive supporter of women's sport now, particularly football and rugby. Those girls can really wail, and I reckon it'll be great to get the cricket going too.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, they'll play some, I think, as curtain raisers, so the crowds will be pretty good. And one thing we know, if you've got a decent crowd making a bit of noise and excitement, that lifts the standard of cricket, so hopefully we can see that. And I know Nicole Bolton's come back to the Scorchers, so that's a bit of a coup for WA. Or for the franchise.
I'll tell you, I reckon the bloke who should be coaching him, Brad Hogg.
He wants to play for the Scorchers.
He's going to play on, is he? Okay.
Well, what do you reckon? He's only 59, I think, at the moment, and he has said that he can play until he's 49. So if you listen to Hoggy, I am 59 and I play till I'm 49. How do you reckon he's going to go?
Hoggy logic. Hey, good on you, Springer. We've got to let you go. Thanks, mate. Enjoy the cricket and keep us posted. Well done.
Cheers. Thank you.
We're going to speak to David Noble, the head of football from the Adelaide Crows right now, and just get the latest. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Pretty good. Welcome to Perth. And how are you going? How are the players going? How's the club going? It's funny, isn't it? You have to sort of taper into a footy match, but in some ways maybe that's good because it takes your mind off things.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. I think, the environment that, that we work in whilst, the fantastic recognition and support that we got last weekend, the game continues to move on, and we've got to have a real focus tonight about what we're doing. And the guys have gone through, an initial phase of grief, but they're very focused. They're a very resilient bunch of guys, and I couldn't be prouder of how they've handled a really difficult situation. And I think the back end of this week, coming through training and then arriving yesterday, having a bit of run around and the team meeting, yeah, look, they seem as focused as what we'd hoped for, and they're certainly ready to go.
And I believe a lot of their family and friends have actually travelled over to Perth and joined them for this game because it has been such a tough time for them.
Yeah, that's right. It's an unusual circumstance. It's always almost one of those ones you've got to throw out the manual and do what you think's right to do. So certainly that was an opportunity that we gave the players and support staff to have that support here. It's certainly business as usual for us. At the hotel, it's about the guys getting focused, and they're just rolling through now, having brekkie, and we'll leave for the game at the normal times, and so that part of it will all be normal, and then there'll be the support mechanisms for us when the game's finished, and we'll be able to have tea and celebrate the day, whatever happens as a result of the footy, with friends and family. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's a good thing you've done that.
David, Steve Butler here. There was some interesting things that Trevor Nisbet said to us last night, and that was about how the Adelaide players wanted to experience some of the tributes that the other teams obviously did last week and your team didn't get to. So some of those will be repeated tonight. I presume that's sort of talking it through as part of the grieving process.
I think it is, Steve. I think that's exactly right. I think... And I think in part of that, it's also recognition from our club to the rest of the competition for what they showed, the mark of respect for Phil and us as a footy club, and certainly for Meredith and Quinn, as part of our extended family. They're certainly, I guess, part of that is to form part of the grieving process, but also it's, as I said, a mark of respect from us back to the rest of the competition.
Yeah, well said. She's a beautiful lady, Meredith, too. I do know her, and a wonderful woman, and... Wow, it's so tough. And you got Woosh over there helping out a bit, Johnny Worsfold. How's he been? He'd be the sort of solid citizen you'd need.
Yeah, look, he's you guys, would know as much as I do what he's like, and the manner in which he conducts himself. In his first two or three days there, he's just been taking it all in, as Woosh tends to, very methodical, lots of questions. Some really good pieces of advice for us. Certainly for me, he's a great sounding board for me. And not only that, we feel that he can really help, Scotty Campriali in those areas that the senior coach needs to have time allocated towards certain aspects of our business. And we'll probably lean on John to do that media, corporate functions if we need to obligate there. And that'll allow Scotty just to continue to get on with the coaching. And I guess just to make sure that we iterate, which obviously... John, having worked with Walshy before, those values and the vision that Walshy had, John's certainly in line and understands where we're going with that.
No doubt. And let's hope he doesn't give away too many secrets.
We've asked him for a couple.
Hey, good on you, Dave. We wish you all the best, mate. I can honestly say in this game, the result is almost secondary in some ways. But, we hope that everyone gets through the game and that the tribute is what you expect. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We know that Walshy touched a lot of guys and certainly the Eagles over here, and we're very very thankful of the support that we've been given by the Eagles and all their players and their well wishes. So, a very heartfelt thanks from us as well.
Well then. Well
good
said.
Luck, mate.
Good luck, yeah. This lady might be able to help us out, actually, in terms of telling us how hard open water swimming is, because she's an open water swimming champion, and she's about to head over to Russia for the World Championships for the open water swimming over there. Her name's Heidi Gann. She joins us in the studio. Hey, Heidi, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Heidi.
And fresh out the pool.
Yeah, exactly. Just finished training about an hour ago.
And how warm was it in?
It took me a good 3K to warm up.
Okay.
And I think it was probably about 5 degrees this morning.
3K to warm up. How far do you swim?
We usually swim about 8K average, or the open water guys do.
That's a lot.
How many laps is that?
Countless.
50 in
my car battles to go that far.
That is incredible. So how long does it take you to train? You get there at 5 and you finish it?
Yeah, so during the week we train at 5:30 in the morning, finish about 7:30, and then we come back in the arvo, start at 4:30 or 5, through till 6:30.
Just in case you haven't had enough.
Yeah, pretty
much. It
says
here you work as a lawyer as well. Obviously, you're studying. You're a self-funded athlete and you wanted to be a long-distance swimmer. Why? Why? Heidi, why?
It's a funny story, actually. I started as a middle-distance pool swimmer, so I was doing the 200, 400 free and got to a stage where I was so injured I could only actually manage a 50 or 100 freestyle, so kind of down the other spectrum of the events. And then came to a point my coach just told me, I was doing a bit of surf lifesaving. Mm-hmm. A bit of ocean swimming, and my coach said, "Oh, just get in there and do a 10K and see how you go." And I did terribly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, surprisingly, I did terribly. But in the end, I just stuck at it and decided I enjoyed it more than pool swimming.
Now, talking about some of the surf lifesaving stuff you've done, have you ever come across any sharks?
Yeah, actually. So I was doing a surf carnival at Leighton Beach last year, or maybe the year before, and did a surf race, came out, went for a cool down by myself, and then turned around, got out of the cool down, turned back, look at the beach, and there's a 5 metre great white. It turns out circling.
Did you get back in the water? I'm guessing
I
not.
I certainly did not, and I did not get back the rest of the day.
I bet.
It was terrifying.
Heidi, do you ever worry about the sort of water that you swim in? Obviously, Shelley Taylor Smith had some issues there when she was younger, and I think Elise Rakiki, the Olympic gold medal sailor, as well. Do you ever have any issues with that?
Yeah, the quality of the water is an issue. I've swam in venues before, particularly robbing regatta centres, which might not be so clean. And I've come out sick, stomach bugs, eye infections.
What about Kazan in Russia? Have you got that water sorted yet?
Can't say I've been there and have tested the water, but it's a world championship event, so I've just got to put my trust in the organisers.
I've got some good news for you too.
Yep.
It's too cold for sharks.
I'm not sure.
So no Noahs, they reckon.
Well, also, here's a little fact for you guys, because none of us know actually where Kazan is, except for that it's in Russia. None of us have been there before. But it's actually the sports capital of Russia. Oh. So there you go.
Of course it is.
It is. No, seriously, that's what it said on Wikipedia.
So that's the chess capital, is it, or...?
Actual sports capital.
No, they're a very powerful sporting nation, no doubt. But that's where the world championships are. And it says in your bio here as well, Heidi sees her boyfriend maximum 1 hour per night.
Is that true?
Yeah, so I'm basically out of the house from 5 a.m. through till 7:38. I try to get to bed by 9.
Well, that's probably why you're still together.
Actually,
must be a great
absence makes the heart grow fonder, they say.
Yeah, he actually used to be a swimmer, so he went to the Commonwealth Games, so he's really understanding. But
does he come to training with you at all?
He used to train, so he just recently retired. Okay. And we used to train together, but in a different squad. But it was... It works now.
And where is that tattoo your mum doesn't like, by the way?
This one here?
Oh, it's on the wrist.
That's on the wrist.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Olympic rings. That's okay. Beautiful. The Olympic rings.
Parents aren't one for tattoos generally, but when they saw the Olympic rings.
Olympic rings on the wrist. It's a bit different. Shouldn't
we? Yeah. All right. Well, we wish you all the best in the World Championships. I'll hand this information on to Basil Zemplis, who's going over there to call for Channel 7. We're broadcasting
He'll annoy the daylights out of you.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to catch up with him if I can.
You'll be regretting that, no doubt. Good on you, Heidi. Wish you all the best. Congratulations. Heidi Gann, she's
an
Olympian.
Much,
she's doing the open water swimming at the World Championships.
The Deadset Legends, Mix 94.5.